Welcome to the podcast for St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center. That's in Random Lake, Wisconsin, north of Milwaukee and south of Sheboygan. We're pleased to share with you recent sermons and Bible classes from our congregation. We welcome you to join us for Divine Service Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We have Bible classes currently offered at 8:15 a.m. on Sunday. Join us to receive the Lord's Word and His gifts. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention, and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good, bad, and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Some live in the light of the last day. Others live in its shadow. So said a theologian of the last century. Some live in the light of the last day, others in its shadow. Today, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a king who spared no expense in preparing a wedding dinner for his son. The fatted calves were killed, his oxen were slaughtered, the meat was roasted, the tables were set. Only one thing was lacking, and that's the guests. So messengers are sent out into the village to announce to those who had been invited that the dinner was ready. "Don't delay. Supper is getting cold. The table is set. Come to the hall, for now is the time for eating and drinking. Now is the time for celebration and song." But those invited did not come. They didn't even have the courtesy to send their regrets. They mocked the generosity and hospitality of their king by ignoring the invitation. In fact, to add insult to injury, some showed hatred, their hatred of the king, by killing the servants who were sent with the invitation. This is not a polite rejection of the invitation to a royal wedding. It's the hostility that can't even tolerate the king. And if they can't kill him, at least they'll show him their hatred by their shameless and murderous ways against the servants. But you noted how the spiteful rejection of the king's invitation, it doesn't stop him. He will have a full house at his son's wedding. So his servants now are dispatched, into the highways and out through the alleys with the commission to gather as many as they can find. All who hear are invited, both bad and good. The party will go on. The Father's generosity is not going to be wasted. There will be guests who sit at the table and feast from the abundance of the King's provisions. His son will have his marriage feast. Now, the Lord Jesus plainly tells us this parable to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is. That is, the kingdom that his Father has prepared for sinners. That's the first thing that we should learn from our Lord's teaching today, that the kingdom is not prepared by human beings for the Father. No, it's the other way around. The kingdom is not in the process of preparation, but it was already prepared before, Luther says. The sons of the kingdom do not prepare the kingdom, but are rather in the process of being prepared themselves. That is, the kingdom merits the sons, not the sons the kingdom. The Father prepared the kingdom. We don't build it, nor do we prepare it ourselves. And even more remarkable is that the Lord prepared this kingdom for you from all eternity. And he established it in time by sending his Son to suffer and to die in your place, and then on the third day to be raised from the dead to never die again. This is the kingdom for which we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Remember the words of the Catechism. The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself, even without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that it may come among us also. And then the Catechism goes on to answer the question, how does God's kingdom come? And it comes in this way for you. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father sends us His Holy Spirit, so that by all grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. The kingdom that our Lord talks about today is the one that God has prepared for all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, that's you, by sending His Son into this world to be your brother, your Savior. You know those familiar words, "For God so loved the world," you, "that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." None are excluded. All are invited. The blood of Jesus was shed for all. But how are you going to believe unless you hear? So His Lord, our Lord, your Lord, sends His servants into all the world to call and to gather not only those who were first invited, clearly that's the Jews who rejected their Messiah, but also the Gentiles who killed Him. He sends out His messengers to call and to gather to His wedding, His marriage feast. The kingdom is prepared, and so the invitation goes out to the world. That is to say, the gospel and baptism must traverse the world. And the message never changes. It's always the same. In the midst of the crumbling and decay of the kingdoms of this world, in the face of governments in turmoil, in the midst of impeachment hearings, or an economic roller coaster, whatever's going on, we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We sing with confidence the words of that Reformation hymn in a few weeks. "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Now, the context of the parable is also important. Weddings. Weddings are times for joy and festivity as family and friends come together to celebrate the union of a man and a woman, embracing one another in love, embarking on a life of one flesh union together until death separates them. Weddings are a once-in-a-lifetime event. That's why parents spend so much money to have a memorable reception when children get married. And so it was with the father in our parable. And yet, as I noted with the bulletin cover, there's a cloud of deep sadness that hangs over this wedding, this parable. Those who were invited to delight in the hospitality of the king would not come. They reject his generosity and go so far as to shamelessly slaughter the servants who bear the royal invitation. But there's even more sadness, and it comes in that final turn of the parable. One who is invited to the feast shows up, but insults his host by not being clothed in the wedding garment that is offered. This guest treats this meal, this wedding feast, as ordinary. He seeks to enjoy it on his own terms. He doesn't follow the house rules. He takes the generosity of the king for granted, and that's why he is bound hand and foot and cast into the place not of festivity and joy, but of weeping and gnashing of teeth, place of outer darkness. That is hell, the kingdom of Satan. Hence, the Lord's stern warning that even though the kingdom is prepared, you can, by unbelief, reject it and be left only with eternal condemnation. Or as again, as that theologian said, some live in the light of the last day, others in its shadow. But the gospel cannot stay put. It's not static. Dr. Luther warned his dear Germans that the gospel is like a passing rain shower. The prophet Amos warns of a famine of the word of God when through man's persistent rejection, God lets his word move on to other places, to other people. There are places mentioned in the New Testament where there were once thriving Christian congregations, but if you go there today, you won't find any. Think about all the majestic European cathedrals, which today are empty on a typical Sunday. Even some in our own community. Do you realize that on any given Sunday, there are more people attending Lutheran Divine Service in Africa than there are in all of North America and Europe combined? The gospel, that invitation must go out. It does move on. So the Lord would have his wedding feast full, so that today he sends messengers, servants, into the world to baptize and to teach that many would be drawn to the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, and there be clothed in his righteousness alone. Today we give thanks that that invitation has come to us. May he grant unto us ears to hear, hearts to believe, tongues to confess his name, that by his grace, too, we be found part of that great multitude from every nation, tribe, and language, gathered around the Lamb in his feast. Even now, we live in this light. We don't live in the shadow of the last day. And so we say, Amen. Blessing and glory and honor and wisdom and power and thanksgiving and might be to our God forever and ever and to his Lamb. Amen. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.